Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 4, 13 to 16. I'd like to read. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultations. If you are revealed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. Amen. This is the word of God. Today's title is Rejoice in so far as you participate in the suffering of Christ. Rejoice in so far as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. This year's Lent began last week on Ash Wednesday, February 18th, and will last for 40 days until April 4th, the day before Easter on April 5th. This observance began around the 4th century. During this period, as we anticipate Easter, it is a season of spiritual discipline, a time to reflect on the suffering of Jesus Christ and the love of the cross through repentance and prayer. According to church traditions, when the church celebrates Easter after Lent, it administers baptism and the Lord's Supper. This is not only to remember the Lord's resurrection and His last supper, but also because we desire to participate in the Lord's resurrection and partake in His supper, becoming one with Him. What should I add of you who has been baptized and participated in countless Holy Communion during this Lent season? May it be a precious time not merely to observe the former season, but to deeply contemplate the spiritual meaning of baptism and the Lord's Supper, to examine our faith and whether we truly meet the condition to partake in God's sacrament, and above all, to confront our unchanging reality. Baptism signifies being born anew from being children of the devil to begin a new life as a children of God. The Lord's Supper embodies the hope and anticipation of the saved who await the participation in the marriage feast of the Lamb with God the Father in His kingdom. The core of these two sacraments is the Lord's cross and resurrections. We often seek only to enjoy the joy of the resurrection, easily forgetting the weight of the Lord's cross and the crosses we each must bear. When we think of the Lord's cross, what first comes to mind is how He was stripped naked and died a horrific death for us. Yet underlying, this is a result of His perfect obedience to fulfill the Father's will. Facing the cross, the Lord prayed thus in the Garden of Gethsemane, according to the Luke chapter 22, verse 42, He said, "Father, if Thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but Thine be done." It was not out of fear or reluctance to bear the cross, but as a representative of fallen humanity, willingly submitting to the Father's will by laying down His life for our salvation. You can see that John chapter 10, verse 15, "Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." although we have become citizens of heaven by believing in Jesus Christ, we are still living on this earth. From the flesh, from sin, and from temptation of the world, how well are we preserving our holiness through obedience to God's word? We must reflect on why we are not becoming bitter each day, but instead are becoming those who are defeated. It is because we live self-centered life. We live for ourselves rather than first seeking God's will and His kingdom. The foremost things we must do for our holiness is self-denial. So Jesus talked to us in the Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and He was saying to them all, the disciples, if anyone wish to come after me, then let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For a cross without self-denial is a false cross. Self-denial means laying down oneself. To put it more starkly, it means putting oneself to death. As the Apostle Paul confessed, we must die daily, because self-denial is never fully, completely accomplished. We must die daily. Why must we die? Because without death, there is no true resurrection. We have come to possess faith that acknowledges Jesus as our Savior by the Father's grace. Yet there is still a rich self within me that tries to be the master and the ruler over my life. What had to happen for Jacob to part with his old self? Even after serving as a laborer for 20 years, he could not cast off his flawed self. In order to become the promised descendant of God, Jacob had to become a new man, but he did not change. When Esau was coming to meet him, Jacob confessed his faith, calling God the God who watched over me. Yet he did not cling to God. Instead, he immediately devised a scheme to protect himself from Esau, dividing his possession into three parts. He sought to earn his salvation by his own strengths. Even so, God challenges Jacob's anxious and restless outer self. Appearing in human form, he wrestled with Jacob all night long. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to 26. I like to read. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Does God starkly reveal the true nature of his outward man? Literally, Jacob wrestled with God, but it was a battle of control. Who would be the master of Jacob's life? God struck the hip socket that supported Jacob's bodies. Immediately, Jacob is collapsed. The old Jacob, who had sustained himself, crumbled. God transformed him from a life of self-reliance to one of reliance on others, reliance of God. Although Jacob seems to have won in that wrestling match, he clung to the man who was God. Through this, spiritually, he fought against his outward self, against the sin, then could not fully trust God to the very end, and struggled even to the point of shedding blood and gained victories. We too discipline ourselves whenever we hear the word. Yet, are we not like Apostle Paul, failing to die daily? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 instructs us to look at Jesus, the pioneer and the perfect of our faith. And the Bible continues to speak to us in the Hebrews chapter 12, 4, you have not yet registered to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. This means we are still far from reaching the point where the Lord fought against sin to victory, even shedding his blood on the cross. This means we have not yet fully reached the point of denying ourselves in our individual battles against the sin and completely obeying God's word. When the Lord foretold his death on the cross, what did Peter say? He said, "Never, Lord." It seemed he was thinking of Jesus, but the Lord responded to his words decisively. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." We must never forget that the moment we think of human things, our own benefit, instead of God's things, each of us becomes like Satan. To be victorious, we must learn the obedience of the Lord, who, though he was God's son, surrendered everything, obeying the one who sent him even unto death. According to the Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Amen. During the 40 days Lenten seasons, we must each take our denials to heart and reflect deeply on them. Now we must take up our cross. What is your cross? It is not a burden you carry. The nature of each person's cross may differ, yet all our cross covers before the cross of Jesus. To be a disciple of the Lord is to follow him. It is to obey his word. It begins precisely with denying oneself and nailing themselves to Jesus Christ. Only the true disciples is crucified alongside Jesus on his cross. According to the Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I let it read that for you. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Amen. When we partake in the Lord's cross, when we die with him and through his resurrection is become new creation within the cross, when Jesus becomes the Lord and the Master, that new person is the one who is truly crucified with Christ. No longer asserting self, but trusting and obeying everything commanded by the Lord who reigns within, this is the one who truly bears their cross. If the Lord's cross accomplished the salvation of my soul and body, then we have a cross to bear in faith for the remainder of our time on this earth. That is the cross of suffering for the church. This cross of suffering cannot be borne by my own will or strength. Above all, I must fill my heart with the image of the suffering Lord. Only then can I walk the path the Lord walked without falling behind midway, but reaching the goal to the very end. Let's look at the First Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. Apostle Peter is encouraging us as like that. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this find favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Amen. I give you another one. Let's look at the First Peter chapter 4, verse 13. The Apostle Peter continues, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultations. Today verse. To participate in Lord's sufferings is not merely to remember what happened to him 2,000 years ago. Rather, as those who have been crossed with Christ and who walk with the Lord by faith, having shared in his death and resurrection, there must be a work in my body that feels the suffering for the church, which is the body of the Lord. It means that just as the Lord suffered for us, we must actively receive all suffering we endure as a way to repay him, fulfilling the mission he has given us for the church. Let's go look at Colossians chapter 1, 24. Colossians chapter 1, 24. The scripture said, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. To keep and fulfill God's word and will, we must first daily put to death our own selves. We must joyfully and gratefully accept all suffering required to protect the church, the body of Christ left in the world, in our battle against Satan. This is the suffering that we endure in following the laws in this world. Though the Lord has risen and ascended to heaven, he still shares in the suffering the church endures today. When the Apostle Paul was Saul, persecuting the church, what did the Lord say to him when he appears? You can find at the Acts chapter 9, verse 4. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The Lord shares in our suffering to the very end. God said, Jesus said in the Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. We must endure misunderstanding, ridicule, and disadvantage when proclaiming the word. We are to joyfully accept the suffering that comes from refusing to compromise with the world to the very end in order to preserve the church and the world. We must endure the suffering of self-denial for the sake of our neighbors, even the embracing the love of Jesus toward our enemies in order to practice God's love. Finally, the battle against the Satan remains for us. The 7-year great tribulation and the subsequent 3.5 years of wait. In this battle, just as the Lord triumphed over all things on the cross, we must follow the path of faith. The way of following the Lord is solely to take up our own cross and place our feet, our entire lives in the footstep of the path of the Lord's work. I let it live for you one more time. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wish to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Beloved saint, this rant should truly be a time to deeply contemplate our Lord who became our perfect example. According to the Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, the partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and his high priest of our confessions. Here is the consider. The Greek is katanoesate. Katanoesate means understand, pay close attention. For those whose heart remain on this side, the only solution in all things is to focus on Jesus. It is command to fix our gaze entirely on the Lord's entire life and word. May you and I become those who focus entirely on the church, the body left by the Lord on this earth, on love first church, and thus receive the God's blessing that compensates for all the suffering we have endured. When Peter asked to the Lord, let him walk on the water toward him, he saw a strong wind blowing beside him. The moment his gaze shifted from the Lord to the wind, he began to sink. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 14, verse 29 to 32. I'll let it read for you. And he said, come, and Peter go out of the boat and walk on the waters and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they get into the boat, the wind stopped. May this rant bring us no more doubt, but rather a turning of focus from ourselves, a denial of self, and the precious act of being crucified with Jesus. May we all become those who put an end to disobedience, the act of turning our eyes to the world, unable to let go of attachment to this earth in the eternal realms. May we all become those who, united with the Lord's resurrections, receive the praise, glory, and honor when the Lord returns. And may we all become those who, led by the Lord, attend the wedding feast banquet in the heavenly kingdom prepared by the Father. Amen. Let us pray together. As we entered this year's Lent, we thank you for clearly telling us how we should spend this season in godliness and what we ought to do during this time. You have told us to follow the footsteps of the Lord, suffering with a joyful heart. This cannot be accomplished by our own will. Yet we give thanks that as we deeply reflect on the Lord who has gone before us, you make us realize that this path is the way to become one with the Lord and with the fathers. In order to follow the Lord, we have come to see that we must first deny ourselves and cast away thought of the flesh within our heart that stand against the will of God. Though we claim to believe in and follow Jesus, we saw that we had never truly fought alongside him, shedding blood like him against these fleshly thoughts and our outward selves, and thus always lived as a life of defeat. Grant us the precious grace that by following the Lord in obedience, his cross may become our cross. Until we go to that kingdom, we have come to realize that the suffering we endure for the church is truly the bearing of the Lord's cross. Therefore, please make all the saints of the first church into those who remain faithful even unto death and who rejoice in all sufferings with joy. We earnestly pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for all these things we ask and desire. Amen.